Isaiah chapter number 31. Isaiah chapter number 31. This evening we'll be reading Isaiah chapter number 31, verses 1 through 4. I'll read verse number 1, and then you'll join me on verse number 2. We'll read all the way through verse number 4. Isaiah chapter number 31, beginning in verse number 1. Bible says in Isaiah 31, 1, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men, and not God, and their horse flesh, and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. For thus saith the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you again this evening, Lord, thankful for the Word of God and the importance, Lord, not only that it holds in our personal life, but how we lift it up here. This evening, as the Word of God is being preached, Lord, may we be encouraged and strengthened to do more for you because of who you are and what your track record has been for us. Lord, thank you for the encouragement that we receive from God's Word. Lord, we thank you for the day and age that we live. Though it may be discouraging, what an amazing opportunity we have to be a witness for you. May the message of this evening encourage and strengthen us to do more for you. Be with our pastor. Fill him with your Holy Spirit's power now as we listen. Fill us with your power. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open to Isaiah 31. God sometimes uses the word woe in the Bible. The word woe is a very strong or powerful word. It usually means beware because strong distress or trouble is about to happen. Woe is a word that you would use riding a horse. Say why? Because you want him to stop. You come into a fence. Whoa! You know, when something startles you or something comes at you, a lot of times you'll say, whoa, 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 whoa. In other words, stop before things get worse. The word woe is a very strong word in the Hebrew language. Now, when God says woe, we should use at least as much sense as a horse does. Amen. Isn't it amazing that a horse has more sense than most people? You can tell a horse to woe and it'll stop. You tell a person to woe and they keep doing what they're doing. Now, listen very carefully here. God is not surprised at the fact that we're sinners. He knows that we are. He had to give us the Bible because we chose to sin. God knows that sin brings fear. Let me say something. Sin brings fear. Evil brings fear. Hatred brings fear. Fear. By the way, the fears you have in life are because of one of those three things. America and the world were scared because of a virus they couldn't see. Why? Because of evil, sin, selfishness. I'd go on and on and on and on. We humans fear each other way too much. Let me say that again. We humans fear each other way too much. God tells us here in Isaiah 31 to woe if you go down to Egypt for help. Now, I know Bible theologians will tell you, well, Egypt is a type of the world. I don't know where they get that, because God never said that. Egypt has been the long-standing enemy of God's people. It is a representation of the opposition of the things of God. I don't know that we could say it's a representative of the world. I do know this. Egypt is definitely the enemy of God and God's people. The Egyptians hated God and God's people throughout much of history. By the way, they still don't have a good tolerance for them. They were idol worshiping. They were mean. They were ruthless people. They enslaved God's people several different times. They were some of the most powerful people for thousands of years. Your idiot scholars and others will tell you, well, Africa is the birthplace of all humankind, and all of its power came from, you know, the first evolution started in Africa. They're a bunch of idiots. The Garden of Eden was not in Africa.
Right.
Plain and simple. In the beginning, God created. Say, where did life begin? With God.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? Now, God tells his people to woe if they go to Egypt for help. Now listen to this very carefully here. God didn't say you should never go to Egypt for help. He said, woe if you do, though. Be careful. Beware. Now listen to this very carefully here. God is not surprised that we have to live in this world. We have to interact with this world. Some of you work in Egypt. You interact with people of Egypt, so to speak. And God says, whoa. He didn't say don't do it, but he said beware, pay attention. Because of sin, he knows we must interact with each other. Especially we must interact with people who are godless and hate God. Did you know the bank is not necessarily godly?
Right.
Nor the people that work there. Nor maybe your mechanic. Or the people at the gas station. Or the people with whom you work. Or where at the restaurant where you go and the person looks like they got in a fight with a weed eater and a pop rivet gun all at the same time. Just because you have to go get help from the world does not mean that you are a bad Christian. And I'm going to make a statement here. He also knows there's times where we need help from the world or lost people. Christianity is not a cult. It's not an exclusive club. I think we ought to come out from the world and be separate, but that doesn't mean that you don't have interaction in the real world.
Amen.
We're not supposed to build our own compound and build walls around it and say, well, this is it's us and no more. Yeah, don't drink the Kool-Aid. I don't believe that you should only do business with a fellow Christian. I've done business with enough Christians that sometimes I'd rather do business with a lost person.
Amen.
And isn't it amazing how a lost person, when they find out you're a Christian, tells you how you're supposed to behave, but they don't expect themselves to behave that way? Sound like Nancy Pelosi now.
Amen.
I'm sorry. Here's the problem, and here's the sermon. As we interact and deal with the world, they tend to intimidate, obligate, and try to dominate us. They seem to have more, and in some ways they do, than we do. And their aggression about it creates fear in us. There are people that will have more power than you and influence in you at work that are not godly. And if you're not careful, they can intimidate and obligate you to do things that you should not do because you went to Egypt. We must realize that they don't look to God for help. for anything they do. Just because a man's lost doesn't mean he can't fix my car, though. Just because somebody's lost doesn't mean they can't cook my food at the restaurant. Now, I will say this. If they work at Slow's, they probably can't help you. Whether they're saved or lost, because they're all lost. Because they only have this life for which to live, they get extra aggressive about the things of this life. He only trusts and obeys himself and what he can control. Now, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of the sermon. God makes a very interesting statement here in Isaiah chapter 31. I want you to look at verse 3. This may be one of my favorite verses in the Bible. God says, "Now the Egyptians are men and not God. And their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall, and they all shall fail together." May I interpret this for you? Everybody in Egypt is a human being. And everything they have isn't spiritual, and it's going to deteriorate. They're not God. Their things are not as powerful as God. In other words, why do we let Egypt, our enemy, intimidate us? Why do we let people of power intimidate us? We have to realize, as we interact with the world, let's realize they're sinful human flesh just like you and me. They're not God. They may have more things. They may have more good fortune here and now, but my eternity is better than theirs is. Egypt is the perpetual enemy of God's people. God is telling us not to give our enemy too much credit. God said, "What are you cowering from the Egyptians for? They're not God. Their horses are not spiritual." Did you know someday you'll ride a horse if you're saved? Amen. You're going to come back on a white horse with Jesus at the end of the tribulation, at the Battle of Armageddon, and we're going to watch Jesus whoop the snot out of the world powers. Amen. We're going to get what do they call those little whirly bird things that fly and take pictures? Drone. Yeah, we're going to get a drone's eye view. I couldn't think of that name of that thing. Yeah, whirly gig thing. Little helicopter thing. Now, wait a minute. We're going to be riding horses, getting a drone's eye view of what Jesus does and kicking the snot out of everybody. Why do we fear people in the world so much? Now, listen to me very carefully here. Let's not let Egypt intimidate us too much. All they have is this world. Like Randy and Leanne played a little while ago, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Why should I get intimidated by some other human? Eternity will reveal the true riches that this world can never know or attain. I may not have what they have right now, but I'll have, they'll pave the streets with what they kill each other for here. Good night, what we call blacktop or pavement. We're gonna pave the streets in heaven out of gold. Pure gold. Can I tell you something? They don't have anything on us. Let's take a look at this idea of not giving our enemy too much credit. First of all, people are sinners. No human is God. Amen. If you were born from your mama, you're not God. Amen. Neither is any other human. Man is man at best. Warren Buffett may be a very wealthy man, but he's going to die. The sooner he does, the better off our world will be. 91 years old, and he's funding most of the evil in our country right now. BLM protests were paid for by George Soros. He gave people money to go out there and ravage cities all over America. The defund police movement was funded by George Soros and Jeff Bezos. Everybody doing okay? These billionaires are throwing lots of money out there to cause havoc. Now listen to me very carefully here. No person, no matter their position, no matter their wealth, no matter their fame, is anything more than a sinful human being.
Amen.
Let me show you what God has to say about it. Turn to Psalm 118. I could probably give you 50 verses tonight. I'm not going to. We're just going to take two separate passages here. Psalm 118. I want you to notice something here. Psalm 118, look at verse number 5. I called upon the Lord in my distress. In other words, there was stress going on. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. Can I tell you something? I'd rather put my trust in God than anybody that's got skin on them. God said, why should we fear what man can do to me? Well, preacher, we might suffer persecution. They might put us in jail. So what can man do to you but put you in jail? Well, what if we die? We've got heaven waiting for us. What's so bad about that? Are you so wrapped up just like Egypt that the only thing that matters is right now, right here? You're like what it says in the book of Job, skin for skin. Yea, a man will give all that he hath for his own life. Everybody doing okay? Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, right before the book of Revelation. Turn back a few pages. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 6. Now I want you to notice what God has to say here. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Guess who the sound minds aren't? The people that are all freaked out are the ones that aren't looking to God. They want power over somebody. And they freak out when they lose their power. Look what all the liberals were doing with Elon Musk in the last 2 weeks. Oh, freedom of speech, we can't have that. We've got to have a disinformation czar. Do you realize the term czar comes from communism? Everybody doing okay? We have to understand something. May I put it in terminology that my daddy taught me? Look everybody eyeball to eyeball.
Amen.
You don't look up at anybody. You don't look down at anybody. You look everybody square in the eyeball because we're all humans.
Amen.
They put their clothes on same way you did. When they get up in the morning, their breath stinks like yours does. I don't care how wealthy you are. I don't care how poor you are. I don't care how famous. I don't care how powerful. You are no different than any other human being in this world. I respect people's positions. I believe we ought to treat people that have positions with respect. It doesn't mean I respect them, but I can respect their position. I don't have to respect the person that sits in the White House, but I will respect the title President of the United States.
That's good.
That's why I won't listen to him, because it makes me ill of how bad we look on the American, the Americans look to the world. You got a bumbling idiot, no brain clown up there, and then you got the president. There's a part of me that feels sorry. Those of you that have had loved ones who have gone through memory loss and the Alzheimer's and that type of thing, and I'm not buying into anything, but it doesn't take but about that long to look into the man's eyes and the lights are on and nobody's home.
Amen.
He's getting to the point now where he can't even read, and it's getting pretty bad. Now, hang on for a second here. We're not supposed to look up or down just because somebody has a position.
Amen.
By the way, that means you ought not be looking for their position either.
Amen.
Too many people get their feelings hurt because they didn't get the promotion they wanted. You're position seeking. You're not trying to do what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
Why do we allow someone with wealth or position or fame intimidate us? Now, everybody listen to me very carefully here. I'm not an arrogant person. There are some that think I am, but I'm not. Did you know that wealthy people need the truth of the gospel just as much as poor people do? I've seen millionaires won to Christ. I was a part of a meeting one time preaching the gospel where 6 millionaires were saved in the same meeting. I was in a room with about 8 or 10 millionaires, and 6 of them got saved that day. Say, why? Because somebody needed to preach the truth. Well, we ought to get the gospel to the down and out. What about the up and out? Either way, they're out.
Amen.
You know that wealthy people just look for somebody that's got a half a brain and knows how to tell them the truth? If you sit down with the truth, they're willing to reason with you. I spoke with 3 millionaires, one of which was actually probably a billionaire this week. You say, why? There's a couple of them that have put investments into our church. I let them know what's going on here because I feel like they deserve to find out some interest on their investment. You'd be surprised how far that goes for God. Do you know every one of them are saved? Your enemy, the ones who oppose you, are not God.
Amen.
I'm going to get down to where we live. You ready? This could hurt, but hang on. Don't say, oh me, just keep saying amen. Your ex is not God. They're not Satan either. But if you, not going there, not even looking, Brother Randall. Just because you might even face some legal issues doesn't mean they're more powerful or anything else. They're not God. Your boss is not God. I'll be the first one to tell you that. Just remember, you got to work here. At least long enough to clean out your office. Your boss is not God. Don't get so intimidated. Don't treat with disrespect. I don't think we ought to treat anybody with disrespect. I think you can deal with a poor person who lives in a cardboard box on the side of the road with as much respect as you do anybody that has a big position. I think they ought to be treated equally. The bill collectors are not God.
Amen.
Now, they try to make you think they are. But can I tell you something? There's only so much that can happen. You say, well, what if I lose my car? You lose your car. What if I lose my house? You lose your house. Just because you lose your car or your house doesn't mean you die.
Amen.
And if you're saved, if you die, guess what? You don't have to worry about any payments. Education is not God.
Amen.
I don't care what the president says when he says they're our children. He stood this week in front of a whole nation and said that those aren't the parents' children, they're our children, and you teachers, they're your children. Now, fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell a bum. And I have a problem with that kind of statement. By the way, public schools have been saying this for decades. When they're here, they're not your children, they're ours. That's where Hillary says you need a village. No, she needs a master to beat the snot out of her. Or, as my daddy would say, hit her in the head with a 2x12. Say, why? Because somebody needs to make them realize those are not their children. The government is not God. And I don't care what level.
Amen.
I love police officers. And most police officers are very respectful, respectable people. Every once in a while you get one that's like a rent-a-cop and they think they're somebody because they got a uniform and they got a Barney Fife gun on their side. And they think they're hot snot on a silver platter and ain't nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate. Just because you put a uniform on doesn't give you power. You know, just because you strut your stuff like a turkey this time of year and fan out and look at me, is all that means is you're a target.
Amen,
amen, Brother Aaron? Yeah. Well, if they were as big as you, they wouldn't be, but... Wait a minute. Wealthy people and wealthy family members are not your enemy. And let me say right here, they don't owe you anything. I'm just going to say it. Parents are not God.
Amen.
Aren't you glad I'm not God? I'm not his God. He makes his decisions for his family. I love my dad. I respect my dad, but he's not my God. I try to honor my dad, but there's times I don't do what he might think I should do. Guess what? Doesn't matter. I'm 54, almost 55 years old. I don't have to obey him, but I'll respect him. What's that? Yes, sir, I still take the trash out. And if he wants his, I'll take his too. Yes, sir. Without a doubt. Where did we get this idea that parents are God of the home?
Amen.
That's idolatry. We better be careful and make everybody realize we're sinners. You may have to make decisions opposing people you love and respect or fear. But they're not God. I've had to make some stands with people that I loved and respected in the ministry. People that either taught me or with whom I served in the ministry. And they've changed directions, but I'm not changing direction with that book right there. I'm headed the same direction, as fast or if not faster than others. And just because they change direction doesn't mean I'm going to cowtail and schnooker up to them and let's just all have a hold hands and sing kumbaya service with everybody. I ain't doing that.
Amen.
And I've had to part ways with some of them. Not ugly. You say, what'd you do, preacher? I didn't say a word. I just kept doing what I'm doing and they don't contact me. You know, if you have to be the initiator all the time, that ought to tell you something. So, number one, all people are sinners. No human is God. Number two, the Egyptians look and are very strong. God didn't say they weren't strong. Isaiah 31:1, woe to them that go to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. Now look at me for a second. He said, realize the Egyptians, they're going to trust their chariots. They got bigger and fancier cars. They're going to trust in their horsemen. Those are the people that work with them and for them and protect them. There are going to be many of them, more than you, because you're going to their land. Don't let it discourage you. There may be a lot. There are many of them. By the way, they may appear very strong here on earth. They are people of power here on earth. They are people of wealth here on earth. They are people of position here on earth. But there is an eternity coming.
Amen.
And may I say something? The most powerful person in this world today, whoever it may be, will bow before God.
Amen.
And they won't hold a candle to a Christian, because they'll be burning in hell if they're not saved. All of their power is given to them by God to begin with. And they're going to answer to God for how they use their power here. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I want to show you something tonight. And I want to help you. There's a lot of bad teaching on this. Romans chapter 13, verse number 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of whom?
God.
The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive them to themselves damnation. For instance, how many of you have a driver's license? Raise your hand. Okay, everybody that's an adult probably here has one, or most everybody. Can I tell you something? Did you know it's illegal to drive a car without one? Before church tonight, a pastor asked me a question. He said, "Preacher, I got a new one." He's a young pastor. He said, "I got a new couple in my church. They've just been saved and baptized, but they want me to marry them, but they don't want to get a marriage license." He said, "What do I say?" I said, "They want you to sanction them shacking up, and that way if they don't want to live together, they don't have to, and in the law's eyes, they're not married." I said, "I wouldn't even talk about it." I said, "Ask them if they have a driver's license." He said, "Okay, you just confirmed what I was thinking, but you put it a little bit more straight than I did." He said, "That answered my question." We got people that, "Well, I don't want to take a license for that. Man shouldn't have a license." Wait a minute. You take a license to drive your car. If you work in skilled trades, Brother Scott, you have a license. Brother Joe, I know you have a license. And others in here do for different trades. Nurses and things. You have to have your licensing, teaching, all the other things that go with that. Does that mean we're bad? No. Verse 3. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Did you know that rulers were supposed to be shooing away evil, not being evil?
Right.
Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. You know the people who are afraid of the police are the ones that aren't obeying? It's real simple. You fear people of power when you're going against the power. Verse 4. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he's a minister of God and a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. That means pay your taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. That means this. That means when it's come time to pay your taxes, just because you're Christian doesn't mean you shouldn't pay your taxes. Amen. Just because you don't agree with the government, because it's a law, you do what you're supposed to do. You don't like the speed limit in a certain spot, so you drive the speed limit you want to drive. Guess what? You're going to pay the price when you get a ticket. Amen. Say why? Because you're not the one that made the law. The law is there. Plain and simple. But I also think there are certain customs. Okay, some of you, if I came to your home and you've got brand new carpet, I think it's a good custom. Take shoes off so you don't mess up the carpet. No problem. I don't have a problem with that. You're going to smell my stinky feet, and I'm not going to smell yours because I can't smell. There's different customs. Some people have different customs for Christmas, or some people like tons and tons and tons of lights. Amen? Harry and Kathy and the Krauses. They could start their own Christmas tree lake farm. I couldn't pay the bill on it, but they could start it. Wait a minute, I have no problem with that, but I'm not doing it. I got too much else to do in the world than play with lights all day long and decorate and do all that kind of stuff. And I don't do it anyway. I'll bring the tree up from the basement, and whatever my wife wants, she can put it on it, and I'm not even staying around to help. I'm going hunting. I'll help take the tree back down to the basement when it's over. Doesn't bother me a bit. I'll move the furniture for her, but she's going to do the decorating, not me. To me, it's a waste of time. Put it up, pull it down. Put it up, pull it down. Good night's only going to be there a few weeks. Who cares? See, you're a Scrooge. Call me what you want. Now, wait a minute. Did you know the government's power is given to them by God? And we're to obey God rather than man. When COVID came, it was going to be a cold day in Hades before I shut our church down. Let me tell you why, because it's not the government's job to tell me when I can be open. Amen. I'm subject to the higher powers till the higher powers step over to God's power. Just like the government won't step in and tell us what to teach in our school. Amen. I'll fight that one tooth and nail, and I will win. You say, why? Because they have no business telling us what to teach. You say, well, it was a public health crisis. Public health crisis doesn't change the Constitution. And if you read the Constitution, it talks about those things in there. Our governor was right when he said he did not mandate the closing of churches. It was a strong suggestion. An executive order by a governor has no rule of law.
Amen.
If you look it up anywhere you want, executive order has no rule of law. It is a very strong suggestion. That's all that it is. But governors used it and abused it, and Christians caved and shut their churches down. Now we have empty churches, and there's an average of about 47 churches a month that are shutting down for good across America. Matthew chapter 22, verses 30 through 31, Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God's. We're not going to take time to turn there. I got to hurry here. Everyone one day will acknowledge how powerful God is. Turn to Romans chapter 14, since you're right there. Turn just chapter 14, look at verse number 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Wow. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Wow. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Did you know one day Bill Gates is going to kneel before God and realize that God is more powerful than Bill Gates? Do you know that Warren Buffett will bow a knee to God one day and acknowledge the fact that God is more powerful than he is? Did you know that the political leaders and the Hollywood or the Hollywood leaders and the whoremongers and the adulterers and all those of Hollywood one day will bend a knee, and the rock concerts and all the other idiots out there one day will realize God has more power than they do? The Disney Corporation will bend a knee to God. Everybody doing okay? You start having parade day for them every year. Eventually they take over. Man only has so much power, but God is God Almighty. All might, all power. Matthew 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Psalm 91, 1 and 2 talks about the Almighty God. Can I tell you something? Man is not almighty. Amen. Government is not almighty. Amen. Education is not almighty. Right. You and I are not almighty, but God is. Amen. Number 3, and I got to hurry, and I'm almost done, I promise you. Because of sin, everything on earth is temporary. God not only punished man and woman and the serpent, but because of sin, but he also cursed the earth. Everything man has, or everything that you and I can get, is in a state of deterioration. We've been in this building 3 years this weekend. Did you know I could go around and show you some areas that's starting to show a little sign of deterioration here or there? Not much. Just little things. Some of you live in a house that's 20, 30 years old, starting to show signs. Some of you live in houses that are 50, 60 years old. They're showing more signs. Some live in a house of 100 years old. It shows a lot of signs. Now, there are houses that will stand longer, but you have to put a lot of work into them to maintain them that way. I don't care how good the product is that you get. It's going to deteriorate. By the way, that's proof that evolution is wrong. Evolution says everything is getting better and better. Isn't it amazing? The monkeys are still here and man's still here. Where's everything in between? The best of what you have will break down. You can go out and buy the most expensive car in the world. It will break. Especially if you're driving it. I don't care how expensive your house is. It's going to need repair. I don't care how good of a tool you buy, it's going to break. Your health is not forever. Medication is not perfect. Medicine comes from the earth. I don't care if you eat tree bark and drink swamp water and chew grass. If that's how you want to maintain your health, go for it. And you don't believe in taking an aspirin, okay. But did you know it came from the same place you just chewed grass? Amen. Well, it was made in a laboratory, but we got it from the earth. That's right. You can suck down all the vitamin C you want. Do you know what vitamin C is? Acid. Might as well drink a battery. It's virtually the same. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that. But it's virtually the same thing. Whether you get it out of an orange or a grapefruit or whether you take it in a pill. Well, vinegar is natural, preacher. Vinegar is good for a lot of things. There's nothing natural about vinegar. Vinegar is pre-wine. Y'all don't think I hear things, but I do. Sometimes I can't hold it back. Your health is not forever. May I say something? Whether it's all natural or whether it comes from what you call medicine or laboratories, I don't care which direction you go. But guess what? All of it you take, you're still going to one day get sick and die. Why are we afraid? Oh, preacher, coronavirus. Yeah, it's been around for thousands of years. If you go look at a can of Lysol that you had hanging around 2 years ago, first thing it says, it kills all human coronavirus. Now, what did we do? We had a man-made, and I believe a precursor to Antichrist, pandemic based upon trying to find out how much salt's left in the earth.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank God one day Dr. Fauci will bow a knee to God. Yeah. He is science. Right. Psychological science. You will not take anything with you when you die. Maybe we shouldn't fear so much what is going to happen to us. I'm not looking forward to dying, to be quite honest with you. But may I say something? If it happens, I'm not afraid. I'm not. I'm not against the statement, how you doing? Well, woke up on this side of the dirt. Well, waking up on the other side of the dirt might not be so bad. Because I know the last breath here is the first breath there, and up there, everything's gone from here.
Amen.
All the problems are over. Don't give the Egyptians more power or more credit than they deserve. Let's not give the world so much. Well, I just don't understand why they have so much and I have so little. Eternity's a whole lot longer than this life.
Amen.
You're kind of like the Jews going into the Canaan land complaining. Man, we've got all this wealth, but the giants are big. We can't do this. I'm afraid. Bless God, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. They don't make the giant I'm afraid of. They don't make the politician I'm afraid of. My daddy taught me that dude puts his britches on same way you do. I remember the first time my dad met Dr. Jack Hiles. I was working on staff for Brother Hiles. He was going into a meeting with his pastor and Brother Hiles. I wasn't sure I even wanted to be on the property. My dad came up. I said, how'd it go, Dad? He said, it went pretty good. First thing he says, oh, you're Brother Craig's dad. Yes, sir. He said, well, how come you haven't straightened him out yet? He said, that's why I sent him here. You haven't done much with him either. I thought, man, I'm not even in a room and I'm getting beat up. Wait a minute. My dad respected Brother Hiles. But my dad looked at him eyeball to eyeball and he said, he's just a man just like me.
Amen.
And he knew that. Later, a couple of weeks later, I was going to or from an airport and he was talking about, we were talking and he said, by the way, I enjoyed meeting your dad. I said, yeah, I heard. He said, what'd you hear? I said, I heard that you asked him if you could straighten me out, and he said you couldn't straighten me out either. He said, I like your dad. And he went on and on. He said, as soon as I grabbed his hand, he said, I knew he was a hardworking man. Calluses, hard grip, look in his eyes, hardworking man. He said, I respect that. He said, men like that's what built this country. And I thought to myself, yeah, my dad wasn't afraid to walk in there. Not because he didn't respect him, but he realized he was a human being just like you and me. Too many live in fear. Too many live in stress, depression, or despair. Can I tell you something? God's not afraid. Our enemy and all of their defenses are nothing compared to God Almighty. A lawsuit has no bearing on God. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
As a child of God, I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm not about to let some other human being rob me of now or eternity. How about we quit giving our enemy so much credit? How about we quit giving our enemies so much power that they don't deserve? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I believe what you heard tonight could sure help you. I really do. I wonder, are we giving the devil way too much credit? He's not all powerful. He's not omnipresent. We give the devil way too much credit. Way too much power he doesn't deserve.